We're in the fifth week of our current series for the Easter season. We'll be wrapping up the series and the season next Sunday. The following week, we introduce our final message series of the regular year, which we'll be telling you a little bit more about next week. If you've been with us for this current series, you know we've been talking about our thinking. It's important, because your success in life depends in large part upon your thoughts. Your life always moves in the direction of your strongest thoughts. In any area of your life where things are going well, you can trace it back to your thought life. Every achievement and success starts with a thought. On the other hand, if there's an area of your life that is not going well, then chances are you fell into some faulty thinking along the way. If you have a bad habit or self-defeating behavior, there's probably a limiting belief or a lie that you buy that's keeping you from changing that behavior or dropping that habit. The way you think and what you think drives your actions and directs your behavior, in turn determining outcomes. And your thinking not only determines your actions and outcomes, it impacts the way you feel about life. We often connect feelings to the heart, but our feelings are actually driven much more by our thoughts. We might experience feelings in our heart, but what causes us to feel a certain way begins in our mind and with what we're thinking. The fact of the matter is, you can control what you think. It's true, you can. You can choose what you think about. This is nothing new. Scientific research has finally caught up with Scripture. Throughout the Bible, we're taught to pay attention to our thoughts, that if we want to head in the right direction and find success in life, we need to learn to think correctly. In his letter to the Romans, St. Paul famously wrote, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind." The renewal of your mind. So 3 weeks ago, we looked at the first mental move. That's what we've been calling them, mental moves. The first mental move is to replace the lies we believe, especially lies we believe about ourselves, with the truth. The chief lie we need to replace is that sin and death have the final word. This lie, in turn, leads to lots of negative emotions and fuels the other lies that we tell ourselves. We need to replace this lie with the truth that Jesus Christ has conquered sin and death once and for all and forever. 2 weeks ago, we looked at a second mental move: create new pathways of positive thought. New pathways that we can go to more easily when we're tempted to negative thought. And we said a great way to create these new positive pathways is to spend time in Scripture, meditating and praying through Scripture, perhaps even memorizing Scripture verses, filling our minds with God's Word. That's the idea, filling our minds with God's Word. Last week, we looked at reframing our thinking. Mental move number 3, reframe thinking. Rather than looking at problems or challenges pessimistically and negatively, we reframe them in the light of God's presence and power, in the light of God's grace and goodness. Today we're going to look at a fourth mental move, and it's this: remain connected to Christ. On the surface, that looks kind of obvious, a no-brainer for sure. But as we go through this passage we're looking at this morning, you might find that this move is the most challenging one of all because it requires more discipline. We find it in John's Gospel. Last week, Jesus described himself as the Good Shepherd. But in this passage, he uses a totally different analogy. He said this: "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He takes away every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and every one that does, he prunes so that it bears more fruit." This is a little dense, for sure. It was the prophet Isaiah who famously compared the nation of Israel to a vineyard. He wrote, "The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the house of Israel and the men of Judah." But the prophet goes on to condemn Israel for failing to serve the Lord. He compares their disobedience before God to a vineyard that fails to produce fruit. So Jesus deliberately uses this analogy, familiar to everybody in his audience, to make the point that he has come to complete what his ancestors did not, could not do. He's the fulfillment of God's plan. The Father plants him on earth, and because of his obedience, he produces the good fruit of the obedience of his friends and followers, whom he calls the branches. Pruning the branches removes the dead, diseased, and injured parts and maximizes health. But pruning also encourages good growth patterns. In a sense, you could say through this series, we're asking the Lord to help us prune our thoughts. We want to cut off those negative patterns and pathways that are diseased or dying or dead. The renewal of our mind, in part, is about pruning. He goes on to amplify the point, "Remain in me as I remain in you." Of course, we remain in him in different ways. When we gather here at the Eucharist, when we take time for thoughtful, sincere confession, we remain in him in our daily quiet time and all the other steps of discipleship we take. But there's another way we remain in him that is more basic and more fundamental and also more challenging. In our mind, in our thoughts. Our minds are the foremost place where we choose to remain with the Lord and connect with him or not. It's in our minds that we choose throughout the day to stay open to God's will and allow him to work his way in our life. It could be as simple as an open conversation throughout the day in our family life, work life, school life. The fruit of this conversation, of this connection, is that we're more mindful and God-honoring in any environment, in every environment that we find ourselves in. In fact, Jesus goes on to make an even stronger statement. He says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever remains in me will bear much fruit." Will bear much fruit. Connected to Christ, we not only have a healthier thought life, we can actually be more productive, be more successful. The renewal of the mind is not just about thinking differently, but living differently. You know, you can watch a video of how to do something, whether it's changing a tire, making a meal, playing an instrument. But up until you go out and actually do it, your brain doesn't really grasp it fully. Something happens in the neural pathways, in the actual application of what we've learned. The action engages our brain in a whole new way, at a whole different level. So for instance, should it be revealed to you through Scripture or here at Mass that there's someone you need to forgive or be reconciled with, you need to put that into action in order to complete the exercise of renewing your mind. Otherwise, the exercise remains incomplete. Or when you find yourself in a situation where fear or anxiety are stopping you or slowing you down from moving forward in faith, quote Scripture and move forward anyway. Say confidently, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Make the call. Have the difficult conversation you don't want to have. Lean into the uncomfortable situation. Move where God's Holy Spirit calls you to move, even if it doesn't go well or as you had hoped. Learn from it and grow. And as we act in accordance with what we discover in God's presence and God's prompting, it stimulates still more thinking and opens us up to still more of God's possibilities. To renew the mind, we must not just think differently, but live differently. So, How do we best apply this teaching of Jesus to remain connected to him in our thoughts in order to be fruitful in our actions? Well, I think there are three simple applications from what we've discussed this morning. Perhaps in the coming week, you could choose to focus on just one of them as your takeaway. First, prune those thoughts that are not connected to Christ. When your thoughts go to fear or worry or doubt or anger or annoyance or all the rest, name that thought. Name it for what it is. Name it, nail it down, and cut it off, cut it out. Repeating in your mind, I do not have to think this way. In Christ, I do not have to think this way. Second, remain in him by giving yourself prompts or reminders throughout the course of your day. Did you know the book of Numbers actually prescribed a very specific prompt? The Lord said, say to the Israelites, throughout the generations to come, you are to make tassels of the corners of your garments. You will look at them and remember the commands of the Lord. Orthodox Jews to this day wear just such tassels. And as they walk and move around in the course of their day, the tassels swirl at the edge of their garments, serving as an excellent prompt. Don't get me wrong, I'm not suggesting we should all start wearing tassels around our waists. But some people wear a cross around their neck, or carry their rosary beads with them, or keep their Bible close at hand, or have a Bible app. Prompts for an ongoing conversation with the Lord. Third, obey what God is telling you to do. If there's something you know God wants you to do that you haven't done, do it. Maybe you need to forgive someone. Maybe there's a debt you owe. Maybe you've been convicted to send an apology to someone you've been praying for. Maybe today you hear the call of God to positively impact others for Christ in undertaking some new significant service or sacrifice. Just step up to it. Do it. You know, you and I are actually co-laborers with the Lord, meaning that apart from Christ, our work is not complete. Our work remains unfinished. Apart from Christ, our work is never complete. But here's the thing. Here's the amazing thing. His work on earth is not complete without us. Think about that.